April 14, 2021. It's the Walk for Pedro show.
Thank you.
Pedro Show, happy Wednesday, middle of the month. Start off with Budo, the alternate take, John Coltrane and Miles Davis. And then Keith Kenny with Constellation Conversation. Brother Matt at the Love Grotto on the Pleasure Point, a couple miles south of here because we're still quite quarantino mode. But I'm not totally man alone because those engineers with their software invention Skype from Estonia, I got Keith Kenny on board. Welcome aboard, Keith.
Thank you so much, Mike. And, honor to be here, man.
You're talking to me from New Jersey, right?
That's right.
In which town?
I'm in Monroe Township. That's where my studio is based. That's where I was born and raised.
You mean the town's called Monroe Township?
Yes, it is.
Wow.
It's just about 20, 30 minutes south of New Brunswick.
Because I've heard, yeah, see, they don't say New Brunswick Township.
No, I know. And it's funny, there's actually two Monroe Townships in New Jersey.
Yeah,
of course,
they had to be. Look, first time me and D. Boone went looking for the county seat, right, in Virginia, at Appomattox, right? We're looking. We thought it was a big fucking chair. And we finally found, it's a building. And in fact,
right.
it had been put back together. It was torn down and shit, and they found the bricks and put it back. But anyway, it ain't a chair, so.
Right.
The township probably, yes, abstract, Monroe Township.
You figured it out the hard way.
Yeah. You know, New Jersey looks like a little California turned the other way. I noticed that looking at the license plate.
Yeah, you know, I've always admired the shape of both of our states, honestly.
They
got a little bit of a, you know, sexy curve to them.
Yeah, let's go back with you. Speaking of curves, when you make the fucking port turns, right, you don't do it from the center lane. You do this thing called a jug handle.
We got the jug handles.
I know. I played Princeton out in the forest. And that's another thing people assume it's all Newark, but it is the Garden State. A lot of woods and shit.
Right. I mean, you got to turn right to go left here.
Okay.
And that'll get you into the garden.
And there's a lot of rural. So don't judge a book by its cover or whatever. Anyway,
yeah.
Let's get into your fucking journey through music. Keith, bring me your earliest musical recollection, please.
Oh, my earliest is got to be my dad just strumming on a classical acoustic guitar in the living room, just kind of improvising and making up lyrics and kind of having like this little repertoire of like three chord songs that he would write.
And this is New Brunswick?
No, I was raised in Monroe Township, so pretty much like when I was five, we moved here. So this has been home base for a long time.
So here, the pad you grew up in, your pop had I'm assuming a nylon string Spanish acoustic?
Yeah.
Okay.
But played much more like a traditional folk guitar, you know?
What, he used a pick? I know dudes who do that, use a pick on a nylon string.
No, he didn't use a pick. He would strum with his fingers, but it was less finger picking, more like strumming.
Yeah, not arpeggiated like classical guys. So, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but anyway, you got an instrument in the pad. Now, do you jump on that?
No. I was kind of coaxed into it a bit. You know, I think he tried to turn me on when I was like 8 or 9.
Oh, he did. So he wanted to get you into it. Okay.
He did try to kind of say, hey, you know, you want to try this out? But I wasn't that interested until I saw Aerosmith on Wayne's World 2 do something like play Shut Up and Dance.
Well, what about school? Were you in the choir or the marching band or shit like that?
No, I honestly wanted to play clarinet in fourth grade when they first, like, introduced instruments around, but – I don't know. You know, things at home, I was growing up, it didn't seem like we were doing too well financially, and I actually felt like a little bad to, like, ask for extra money to rent a clarinet.
Right.
So I kind of just waited on it, and I just took an alternate route to music in general. I didn't learn from any, like, band or organized
musical. Yeah, that's okay. I'm just curious, because everybody's got their own way. What about the first record you bought with your own money?
That was Aerosmith, Get a Grip.
Okay, and the first gig you saw, not TV, not Aerosmith on TV, but live.
Metallica at the PNC Bank Arts Center. I think 12.
Like big arena rock. Gig.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, so what you say when you're 8 or 9, you said no to the guitar, but then what? Because it was your dad who wanted to teach you and, like, you wanted to find your own way, or?
I think it was kind of the acoustic thing didn't seem too appealing to me when I was that young. It didn't seem to have, like, an edge to it or, like, rock and roll vibe, you know. So I would watch my dad play, and I thought it was kind of neat, but I didn't get the bug, you know.
Yeah, later you did, though. You got pretty good on acoustic.
Right.
So you want an electric guitar and an amplifier to play with your friends after school, right?
I was a kid in the 90s, you know, so, like, you know, Green Day was the biggest thing, and you couldn't avoid, like, getting into that Dookie record when it came out. So I saw those guys playing electric guitars, and I thought that was what you needed to have.
And did he buy you one, like, Christmas present or some shit?
No, it turned out that, so my dad had a side business cleaning carpets, and one day he actually bartered with a customer, and he got an electric guitar from her, and it ended up at my uncle's house, just living there for some reason for a while. I guess he wasn't playing it. He was playing the nylon. Yeah. And then on my 11th birthday, this beautiful Japanese black Hondo 2, like, Fender knockoff guitar shows up on my 11th birthday, and just, like, stayed up all night playing it. I think I had a sleepover party, and it was like Christmas on my birthday.
And an amp too? Yeah.
No, there's no amp.
That's why I was some kind of event to get the gift in your hands. So I wasn't trying to be specific that way, but
yeah,
you know, there's all kinds of ways how cats got their first instrument. So you must have got an amp, right?
No, well, there wasn't an amp at first. It was probably a good couple months before it was just like it was just an electric guitar, probably missing a string or two. You know,
so you're just going for it, though, right?
Yeah, you're just kind of like putting your fingers on it just seeing what sounds are made just by putting your fingers on the
frets.
Sure,
and then the amplifier brings a whole bunch of other sounds. And then in the afternoon after school, the garage band, basement band, bedroom band.
Yeah, there was a kid down the street named Paul Caffrey, and he still plays out. He's in a band called Tango Machina, and he had like a basement with We literally had chopsticks and some pieces of a drum set, and we used that to create our first band called Operation Gone Wrong.
And he was a drummer, man?
We didn't know what we each member played at the time. We were just messing around.
Who was manning the chopsticks?
I definitely tried chopsticks a few times, and then we would switch back and forth.
Okay. But anybody want to rock the bass? Was there a bass?
No, we didn't have bass yet.
Okay. That explains a little.
Yeah.
That's okay. You're all is forgiven. This band, Operation...
Gone Wrong.
Gone Wrong. Did they ever do a gig?
No. This was... Our first gig was a couple girls had walked by on the street, and they actually stopped and listened to us. But that was just noise coming from the basement. And honestly, we had no chops at all.
It was mainly a practice band.
Right.
Okay. And I'm interested in the material. Were you trying to copy off records, or were you guys writing your own shit yet?
We just started writing our own stuff.
Yeah.
We wrote some really bad songs. Like, one was called Thunder.
Well, you got to start somewhere. Jesus.
Yeah.
Like skateboarding, right? You just don't fucking start pulling ollies first time on a board. Unless you're fucking won the lotto. Sucker boy, Lotto. Okay. First song you wrote, can you remember?
I remember it was instrumental, and I can remember the chord structure, roughly.
Wow, that's great. Did it have a title?
No.
Okay, that's all right. And how long did this band last?
Well, that was probably like maybe... a month at best.
Wow.
We didn't. We weren't.
Short stay. We call that short stay. Like if you ate some bad chow and you have to blow it out. Like within a half hour, we call that short stay.
I would say it was before either of us were really seriously playing.
Oh, yeah. Well, you're still teenagers, right?
Not even. We were younger.
Oh, shit. Okay. Yeah. So what happens after that, Keith?
Around seventh grade, I met a serious bass player named Jim Smith. And he grew up just a little farther away. He wasn't my down-the-block friend. He was like the next little neighborhood over friend. And he had an even bigger basement with more amplifiers. So things were starting to really gear up, you know?
Yeah. So he has some experience. He's been around. He's been doing this.
At this point, we were both starting to get serious. We were both learning songs.
So you had to find a drummer, man.
Yeah. And that was always an issue.
Okay. With that, let's listen to Teenage Dream. If you don't have no followers, I'll never follow you, yeah.
dei bagarozzi nella mia chitarra.
One, two, three, go!
stash some buried treasures. Horizontal monsters are rising up for selfish pleasure. Parts from now that are nowhere to be found. So hello to you, trust me. The ultimatum never dies. Discussions are inadequate. How do you know the wind has eyes? Like so many God's creatures and like all the living animals, deflated, slowly losing speed. Like all the worlds around them, their kings and kingdoms still not seen. Filthy, toxic visions be destroyed. It's every expectation for a boy to find happiness but not joy. Trust them now. How dare you trust them? The hourglass of the fisted glove sent through the fingers emptying the loved ones that you did not love. And do not trust them, trust them, trust them, trust them, trust them, trust them now, trust them now.
Who are Ew, I'm sure. Gross.
Oh, Jason's doing so much.
Thank you.
Pedro Show. Started that chunk of music off. That's Keith Kenny featuring Dean Wayne, Teenage Dream. It's all fucking rhyming, what? Manuel Maresca and Manuel Ayers out of Berlin with Civetto Di Tutto. And Manuel, of course, from Terracina, now Roma. Marco Serrato and Raul Cantizano after that with Que Bantahueso. They're from Spain. Righteous flamenco guitar with stand-up you call this free playing, huh? Improvised. Bitching. Much respect. Gran respeto, Marco. Raul. God, my voice is after that. Bob Pollard with the new album, of course. Right? It's the other month, right? It's every other month we got a new album. He's so fucking prolific. Trust Them Now. Great song. I read this place where he said, you know, I sing with the England accent so people don't know I'm a hick. Okay. Dayton, Ohio, hick. Hellbeans after that, South England, South of London, which is South of England, yeah. Metal, and not the Pink Floyd album, but something you pin to your fucking shirt. Special Interest, brand new, tune called Disease. Abomas Prendon, When I Look at You, I See Red. Wharton's Expanding Jazz Band, this is Wharton Tears. He had that big fun studio in Manhattan. I got to record with Bob Quine, Lee Rinaldo, Steve Shelley there. Bobby Dylan doing his song Freeze Out. Johanna, Visions of Johanna. Aruba, Abua, Uma Pedra, Durando. Steve Abercrombie with Emotional Detachment. And finally, IDGAF. Maybe this is an acronym. IDGAF, Keith Kenny.
Yeah.
Okay, and then a new word for what? You know, I usually do a good job destroying other people's languages, but I could do it to English, too. So, okay, you and the bass band are looking for a drummer. What's up?
Right. So, you know, we were learning Metallica tunes and Iron Maiden stuff in his basement. But
writing also?
Yeah, we were just starting to kind of write, you know. And I was a metalhead, he was a metalhead, and we would kind of come up with metal riffs, and that was kind of the start of it. But it started to get, it turned into, you know, I put a demo together, and then there was other kids in high school that were interested. So the band was kind of slowly kind of forming around some of the sessions that we were having.
Did you give this band a name?
The name was Blacklisted.
That's good.
At that time. And it was like a metal, you know, metal, almost like a tribute to Metallica, really, because that was our main influence at the time.
None less black. None more black.
Right.
Okay, so now does this band do gigs besides people passing by while you're practicing?
No, I never seemed to be able to get it all together, like have the, because I was really afraid of singing back then.
Yeah.
Especially with the kind of metal mentality, you kind of had to have that scream voice, and when you're like prepubescent, you know, you don't quite have have the voice to go with the aggressive sounding guitar and loud drums and stuff.
Well, yeah, Metallica, but what, Rob Halford, I mean, that's
oh yeah,
that's the voice. You know, right. I saw their first gig at the Whiskey when they first came here. They played the Whiskey at Go-Go in West Hollywood, and Gary Valentine, Robert Halford, too, could barely stand, but man, could he sing. Fuck the pipes on that guy. And the whole band, it was called Sad Wings. It had the, like, Demon Angel on the cover, I remember. The Ripper was the big song. But anyway, so this band falls apart, too, without doing a gig?
Yeah, we didn't even, like, make it to the high school talent show or anything like that, you know?
That's okay, you know?
Yeah.
Like skateboarding, get back up.
Right.
Okay, so what's next?
Well, you know, high school ends, and then I'm kind of floating around. I think I tried to get into music school, but I wasn't a reader, so I didn't get into the local college here for music, so... I started going to school, and then I was just playing, like, all the time on the side, and I got influenced by the guitar player named Michael Hedges, who is a... Have you heard of him? Or?
Yeah, yeah.
But his acoustic percussive style and all that just kind of changed my world and opened up a little more of a, like, an acoustic thing, but I also had this metal background, so... Kind of wanted to marry the two together in a way, and
or maybe maybe it's coming to you like music's music, and fuck this genre and labels and names of shit.
Absolutely, I mean that's exactly what it was.
You know what I mean? Because when we're kids, I don't know if that's natural. I think that shit is kind of brainwashed on us for marketing.
Oh, I couldn't agree with you more. It's like you have to name every specific style genre for no reason now.
So what happens? This is what I found myself doing. You go to a gig, and you can't just listen to the band. Your mind starts trying to associate it with something you already heard. Like, fuck that shit, man.
Right, yeah, you're comparing them to some other band that
you've
heard.
Yeah, and you don't have to do that. Just because you read that's how some kind of reviewers do that, or some labels are trying to sell their socks or jock straps or... You know, get these kind. It's made for this kind of man. Bullshit.
Yeah.
Music is music, right? So look, you're a young man still. You're finding out so Michael Hedges has a big effect. And it was pretty pure, right? You just listen and do it and you like it.
You hear it and you're kind of like your whole, like that one day shapes the next few years of your life, you know, because it's like you're so influenced by this new art form that you just go after it.
Right. And does this help with the songwriting?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it, like, opened it wide open because it's like, well, I'm not just going to sit here and write metal riffs anymore. I want to go deeper. I want to learn more styles. I want to try different tunings, you know?
Right, right. And this is on the path to the one-man band thing?
Well, you know, like, yeah, it's weird because it was never the goal.
No,
at
I
first, you know, you want to get the band together,
sure.
The group of guys that like you couldn't live without, and it just always seemed to not fully coagulate, you know? I was trying like hell. And life gets in the way for some people. Some people, like, prioritize it in a different way. And for me, it was, like, always number one for so long. And trying to find two or three other like-minded individuals at the time in, like, a small kind of rural kind of township was not that easy.
So Solution provided a little bit from some technology, right? Some drum machine and...
Yeah, I had, like, one of those drum pads as a kid. The they were real cheap. You could buy them at Guitar Center. I know you have another name for guitar. What's your name for Guitar Center?
Shithard Center. I'm a poet, don't you know it?
Yeah.
And, my feet show it. They're Longfellows.
Right. You're obviously not looking for a sponsorship.
Well, they're in a little bit of trouble, right?
Yeah, I think they went. There's some talk of bankruptcy or something.
Yeah, for years now, billions.
But that certainly isn't because I haven't spent a shit ton of money there. I mean,
so anyway, let's get back. You get a drum machine.
Yeah, you know, I started messing around with the ability to record yourself. You know, having
sound on sound. Les Paul.
Right.
Thank you, Mr. Les Paul. Mary Ford. Yeah. So you start putting together a band sound just one layer at a time.
Exactly.
Yeah. See, necessity, mother of invention, right?
It really is, yeah. I mean...
Yeah, bitching. Look, we're at the end of, you know, lemonade makers, right, when the lemons start going down. We're at the end of the first hour, April 14, 2021, edition Watt Pedro Show, special guest Keith Kenny. Hold tight for hour two! April 14th, 2021, it's the second hour of the Watt Pedro Show.
Mark will set you free, but he's carrying the virus, so tread lightly. It is the beginning of February, and the weekend is over. AFTs and DVAs and the HRC and the DNA inquire politely. What day is this? Your new toy. Inquire politely. What day is it? Let's see them get destroyed. Atrophy. Geophony. Philosophy. Telepathy. Let's see them atrophy. Such devastation. Brought on Cybertron by well-meaning invaders. Now the old knowledge is gone. We cannot fix a toaster or even fix a pot of tea. It's his kitchen sink and property. Ships creaking and the sounds of the squads. Soda water, soda bread. You wouldn't be dead for dollars or cents or pounds or euros. It's Friday, my Monday. Discretionary spending. Discretionary spending and structural integrity. Simulation theory is rampant and spreading. They live. I came here to kick myself and chew the fat. And I'm all out of myself. And I'm all out of myself. The Wonder Years. If we did the Wonder Years today, they'd tell me. It would be set in 2001. Wonder Years. And I'm all out of myself.
Thank you. Oh, ancestry, Monsieur Polishev.
That's okay. Well, I was there, but you couldn't see what it really means to be together at the end of the day. Go on, move along. Go on, move along. You left me out in a thunderstorm, just trying to get where it's nice and warm, but you don't have a place to stay. If I could only concentrate on those things that make me feel like I want to, we'd be out of the rain. Go on, move along. Go on, move along. Well, I was there when no one even knew your name. It don't seem like you want to remember that. Well, now all that I can do is feel that falling rain. I'm still gonna try and make the best of it.
All right.
Now it's over, and that's okay. Go on.
For Pedro Show, start off the second hour, Keith Kenny,
and
me. After that, Ben Salter out of Tasmania with the Wonder Years. Lucas Abels out of Sydney. F is for Fifth Disease. Fuck that. El Cloro. We got some stuff out of Italy here. El Cloro with Fiume Nera, the Black River. Huh? El Sob. El Sob, I guess they would say. Gray Brown Lagoon. That sounds tasty. Now, this motherfucker's got 20 letters. Do mi col ci in vertedes. Thank you, guys. Jean-Louis is not a crime. Yeah, a lot of humor coming out of Bari, Italy. Irmo Victor after that with Desinista. And finally, Keith Kenny, move along. Okay, so what happens now that you got this one-man band going? Now... Yeah, there's nobody to blame delay of game penalties on, right? Now it's all you. It's all in your hands. You can start piling on the leather. What usually came first, the acoustic guitar?
Yeah, that was, you know, the main instrument. So you're just playing all the time, and kind of riffs will come, or chord progression, whatever. It's usually starts with the guitar.
But then you probably would lay down the drum and jam to the drum, right?
Right. Like I got like one of those loop pedals in the beginning. It was a little more archaic than they are now, but you could layer down some percussion if you wanted, and even like, you know, beat on the guitar a little bit and get something like that going. Or,
you know, beating on the guitar percussion, there's an old tradition of that called flamenco.
Right.
Yeah. So some of them even have a thicker fucking soundboard or plastic protecting because of the wrapping and shit. Okay. So you make little loops out of that, so they become little rhythmic figures.
Right.
Okay. So the words came last?
Usually they would. You know, if you got lucky, they would come at the same time. And that was like,
Sure.
Gift.
What about titles?
Titles, I would usually work on those at last, but I've kind of learned the other method now is some guys are naming tunes first, and then they're working off the title, which is cool.
Keith, that's why I asked that question, because Watts always done it that way. Yeah, I needed it to give me, as an anchor, to give me a focus so I could
bring,
maybe it's because I'm composing on the bass most of the time, but I got to bring everything I got to aid and abet that tune, and the title helps me. But, like, hardly anybody does that, so that's why I always ask.
No, that's, you know what, that makes so much more sense, and it makes me feel like I've been doing it ass backwards.
Well, like, a lot of bass parts are added last, right? So I've been ass backwards. You know, life puts you in, it deals your hand, and then you fucking play the best you can. Okay, so what about gigs?
Man, it was so hard in the beginning, because I had no clue how you book a gig, right? So I would, you know, you hear about open mics.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. And I struggled even just to find those. And you go around, you have this lame demo with no picture or nothing on it, and you're handing them out, and no one calls you back. So you just kind of – I found a couple open mics in New Brunswick that I would frequent, and that kind of started to break the ice of getting out and playing in front of people.
Okay. And what about the other way where you meet dudes at gigs? Hey, can I open for your band?
Well, the other thing I did was the old bass player I'm going back to from the high school days, he had kind of gotten a band together called POW. It was a metal band, and I joined them for a little bit, so that got me a little more stage time, too.
Now, it's not your band. You're like a helper, side model.
Yeah, I was like kind of lead guitar player in that.
Okay. So that helped get you some connects, some experience?
Yeah, that was a huge stepping stone, because then I met a couple other guys that were gigging out and saw a few other bands that were doing something that was a little more up my alley.
See, I asked that, Keith, because people ask me about the old days. What was it about? I said it was about people. I think the new days are about people, too.
It's still
about
people.
I think it's always going to be about people. Right.
See, I got to be honest. Like, when I started playing guitar, I was like a hermit. You know, I was just you'd lock yourself in your room. You don't like, need to like socialize that much because you're so obsessed with the music.
Absolute.
But then when you want to play out, you realize, man, this is all about the people.
That's right. Work in the room.
Right.
Yeah, I want to play Broken Misery.
Awesome.
break, regenerate, learn how to wait, cultivate a better understanding of myself. Whatever it takes, I want to change. My desire strange. I wanna rearrange the molecular biology. Find a configuration. I want a new chemistry. I wanna care and share and not be so wrapped up in me. Conquer my impatient thoughts spontaneously. I wanna see life with new eyes. Every moment can be a big surprise. I wanna get down to the truth and cause. Before I fly off the handle, I wanna pause. I wanna change. I wanna change. I'm tired of being the way I am. Is my desire strange? I wanna change whatever makes me feel small. Transform myself. Get rid of it all. I wanna change the selfishness into tenderness. You know what I mean? I just wanna bless.
Strongest link will snap. is my haven, a present to have. But there's something about you that's ringing a bell. Yeah, there's something about you ringing a bell. I know all the pictures. But I don't know these faces and I don't know their names. I wanna go out, I wanna go home. I wish all these people would leave me alone. Wish that all of these people
there's something wrong with everyone but me. And it's hard to see your point of view when you're always looking down at me. A structured life is too ordinary for me. And your money games and foolish names aren't on me. And my teenage years have washed away. I don't have more time to waste, but I'll just sit here anyway. 'Cause I'm lost. Yes, I'm lost. 'Cause I'm
for Pedro Show. That chunk of music started off with Keith Kenny doing Broken Misery. Then Kalinich and Tiven with I Want Change. SZ with Time, that's Snez in Chicago. Trigger Cut from Germany with Blind. OMP Jones out of Hamburg, Germany. Dementia Blues. We don't want that. Well, not yet. Maybe we don't ever want it. What? Fuck. Modern Blood. Brand new Plague 2. Not Plague 1, but Plague 2. Careful what you wish for. Keith Kenny, finally, with Lost Souls. So, okay, not a long tenure with POW, right?
No.
Okay. So, but when you leave those cats and now you're man alone again, Keith Kenny again, you're fortified.
Right. Okay. So, I had found another drummer and bass player. They were cousins, and they were just the most solid rhythm section I could imagine. Tyler Kiera and Jonathan Luberecki. And these two guys were like, you know, the first time we got together in this basement, it was like, ooh, man, there's a spark, you know. It was huge. Yeah. And we tried the kind of the trio thing for a while, and we were going under my name because I had been bringing the songs to the table. And so we go out, and we were gigging, and things were going well. We released the first record in 2008. We did Limit is the Sky, which is the first Keith Kenny record, like, you know, self-titled kind of thing. And
I think they call that eponymous.
Yeah.
For a big fancy word.
Right. And then that's just kind of, that was that phase of college years, I guess, where lives were going in different directions. And for some reason that fizzled in around that time. But the solo show was always still kind of there.
And you would do some of these tunes. You adapted them for the one-man band thing? Okay.
Right.
So the three only lasted one album and some gigs.
Right.
Okay. Well, it seems like you're pretty philosophical about it. You didn't get too bummed. You kept charging hard.
I was bummed, I'm not going to lie. I mean, okay. I was hurt, you know, but you got to keep playing because it's what you do, you know?
I know it. It's a lifeline.
Yeah.
Okay, so what, yank on the bootstraps, get back up off the deck after the skateboard fell over, now you're back on her again, right?
Yeah, I mean, at this point, like, you know, some cool gigs are coming in. I'm playing at the Stone Pony opening for local bands. And
I got to play there once with Porno for Pyros.
Oh, sick.
But where I
was able to get on a gig like that.
What I usually played in Asbury Park, you know, as Mike Watt, was the Saints.
Yeah.
I mean, Saint and some place called Thunderbird and Speedway.
Yeah.
Speedway, actually, the fucking overhead broke and the rain came through and... Yeah, that's what I remember. God, I haven't played in those parts in a long. It's called the Jersey Shore, right?
Right. The Saint was great. I mean, that's where we did our first album release show.
I had great gigs there, man. Bitchin'. I remember playing with Cobra Verde there. I loved it. Kind of a beat up part of town. You could tell there was a different, right? That whole thing, right? It was a different era. But man, there was a great energy. All the New Jersey gig goers would come out, and they were great to play for. And the bands too were bitching. You're opening up for people as the one man band thing.
Yeah, it was cool. I was getting on some decent bills as like an opener, you know, some Grateful Dead bands or like kind of like they could kind of throw me anywhere because I was doing like rock stuff. I was doing kind of hippie sounding stuff. So it kind of just fit in. I would be like, you know, I called it the Keith Kenny commercial, you know. Sometimes they throw me in between sets, you know.
Sure.
Yeah.
And then there wasn't a lot of stuff, right? You were pretty self-contained. The rhythm box, the samplers or whatever, the loopers.
Yeah.
And that's it. And one amplifier in a buttload of stuff. So maybe you were really convenient, too. And also, you probably brought some variety in another dimension.
It was fun, man. I mean, yeah, I could just kind of... I was always nervous as hell, but you could always kind of throw my shit on stage in about 5 minutes and do something for 15, 20 minutes, and there would be a pretty big room of people coming to see the headliner band, so it was really exciting.
Yeah, good stuff, good experience. Look, we're at the end of the second hour, April 14, 2021. Just a Watt Beater Show, special guest Keith Kenny. Hold tight for hour three. April 14, 2021, it's the third hour of the Watt for Pedro Show.
Oh, the last thing I remember, I was trying to break in to the back door of my own house. Broken bottles in the kitchen, my clothes out in the yard, and you must have thrown me out. Have another.
take me home. The more I think about it, the less I want to know. Oh, no. The more I think about it, the less I want to know. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. to me. Away.
been there for 2 years. I have
show start off the third hour. Keith Kenny doing Closing Yard. Then 16 by the Janeways. Troopa Troopa from Poland with To Me. Stony Spring, Ride That Wild Ass to Hell. Mike Cooper for Tell 'Em I. And Keith Kenny finally. Burr's Roach Jam. So what about this new album? Or latest album?
Lifetime Ago Motel.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of came together real slowly because of a bunch of musical stuff going on, really good musical stuff going on. I was recording some other bands. I was opening up for the Dean Wien group during part of that era. And
let me understand. So you kind of opened up because you were self-recording. You ended up opening your own studio?
So when, like, before Limit is the Sky, the very first album,
me and
my old man pulled some funds together and we built like a 20 by 20 little studio in the backyard of his pad.
Oh, man, great.
So it, I was lucky, man. I mean, I had a lot of encouragement from my folks to keep on it, you know, and that's huge. It makes
all the difference. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, so you record another band, so you're getting experience that way, too.
Yeah.
Betcha. So you're putting together this album kind of slow because you're doing other people's stuff in the meantime. That's a band that – that's a music is music band. They don't give a fuck, right? They try everything. No, I love that.
That's what I love about them.
Yeah, absolute. That's what it's about. Rhythm, right? Notes and melodies, harmonies, but no fucking, you know, prison camps.
No sticking to one genre because you feel like you have to. No.
Right. So when you started this album in mind, actually you had the other band still going?
No, at this point... it was just kind of, I was going through a divorce at the time, so I was just kind of like an emotional wreck, and I didn't want to put out this large body of work that just seemed like a total drag, so I was waiting for some songs to come,
right,
and see if you know, there would be some different moods of this, you know, this monster that had kind of come into my life, and it did. It just took some time, so once some other tunes kind of came and that, I would work on them as they were coming.
Okay. And since it's a studio album and stuff, and it doesn't really have to be a band, you had some guests?
Yeah, man. Some of my close friends were always around and helped me out, but the big one was having Sim Kane play on it. You know Sim?
From Gone.
He's been around forever.
From Gone, when he was playing with Andrew without the shoes, right?
Right.
And then Hank took him for his band.
Right.
Yeah, there was a little funny drama going on those days. But, man, both those cats. Trenton cats, right?
Yeah. And right. Sim's still in Trenton, man. He's so awesome behind the kit.
Oh, yeah.
It was an honor to have him in here.
Right. And like, how did you direct him or something? Did you just play and say, hey, what do you think?
I sent him a couple demos of the tracks that we wanted to work on. But it's funny because the one that I really admire the most and think came out the best was something I just threw at him out in the spot, which was Waiting for the Kill.
Ah, we're going to play that next.
Awesome.
Did you ever hear Scorn Flakes?
I've heard Scorn Flakes.
Yeah. I had a cassette, right? This is like really young Sim and Andrew. And I remember that a tune on there was called Turds with Corn in Them. I mean, it's not just turds, but it's with corn in them.
Nice.
Here, let's listen to Sim.
Paranoia is the word on the street. Some kids got messed up Thank you.
Walk for Pedro Show last music for this edition. Keith Kenny featuring Sim Kane, Waiting for the Kill. Nick Francis and Tholum with Four. That's the number. They're not thinking too hard about titles, people. And Hands Rotten from Switzerland with Slide Noise Improvisation. Finally, Wayside, Keith Kenny. So, the tune you really liked him doing was the one you just threw at him. Ain't that weird how life works out like that?
It's you can't contain the beast, man. You try to control it, but
well, Keith, what about the one we played at the beginning of the show with Dean Ween, with Mickey?
Right. So that was kind of a fly-in too. I just sent them the track and he just really quickly sent it back with the lead on it. No discussion, just like real quick. So it was.
Now he does fishing tours, huh?
Yeah.
I'm tempted to go one of those.
But, yeah.
You know, any cat who can fish can probably do a good lead in one take.
Yeah. I mean, he's.
So, all together, how long did it take to do this, baby?
Lifetime Ago Motel took probably, it was over the span of 3 years, which I don't know, I feel a little like maybe that's too damn long, but at the same time, there was just other stuff going on.
Yeah, yeah. You know what Orson Welles said, right? No wine before it's time.
Right.
Oh, Baracho.
You gotta wait for that baby to ferment.
Yeah, yeah. Especially the Masson brother, right? $2 screw on top. One time I met him. I met him at Pink's in Hollywood at a hot dog stand. He's a big man, like a barn door. Not just wide, but tall, you know. Mr. Welles, young man, I'd shake your hand, but he had a chili dog in each hand. He goes, I'd like to shake your hand, but I am busy. Okay. This is in the early 80s. So 3 years. Man, I've heard of dudes taking way longer. So, and look at Stanley Kubrick making movies. Jesus Christ.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But look at what comes out of him.
I know,
though,
good
you know?
Ones. But other times he got bum rushed, right? The dudes, he takes so long, dudes would steal his idea and make the movie before he got his done.
Oh, right.
It happened with a full Metal Jacket, right? And Platoon. And
yeah.
We never made the Shaw movie because of Schindler's List and shit like that. But
2001 is my favorite.
Right, right. Yeah. And you know, looking back, he had to take that time. And maybe that's what you had to do, Keith. It just had to be.
You're right. It definitely feels that way.
Okay. And you think the skills recording other people, when these people have you record them, do you just do the engineer shit, or are you also kind of a producer, man?
A lot of times I'll end up playing a little bit on it, or, you know, like maybe doing a guest guitar thing, or sometimes sitting behind the drum kit. So I guess a little bit of producing. I try to let people's vision come as they want it. You know, I don't want to like step all over it and go, hey, you know, this, you got to have this. It's more about
what
they want out of
that,
it.
Yeah, you know? You have a respect for them. The reason I bring that up is because I'm wondering if that informed the making of your own record.
I think what helped me the most was working on the last record with a producer named Justin Gwip, who he worked with like Levon Helm and he's just a sick producer. I mean, he's got just an amazing visions. And so after I got the chance to work with him, I was able to come back to my studio and kind of have a few tricks and understand the process a little bit more. That helped big time.
And how'd that happen? You just met him?
It was like one of those friend of a friend who used to be his roommate back in the day, and that's how you kind of get your foot in the door.
Sure, it was kind of like that.
The
greatest gift one music cat can give to another is turn him on to more music shit.
And then it's all about like the learning and the exchange of those moments together where you then kind of are heightened, you know, you get to take so much away from it.
Absolute. That's beautiful that you fucking got a chance to learn that. I'm discovering that all the time either. You never know down the road. It might be invaluable. You just don't know. So don't, You know what I mean? Take it for granted. That's the word I'm trying to say. And it doesn't sound like you have. And you got plans for a new record. I know it's early, but do you start planning? As soon as you get one done, do you start planning the next?
I definitely, you know, it's one of those things where I can't even start thinking about it until, like, the one is finished. But, yeah, now I got the itch again, and I can't believe it already because it's like, man, that was a big endeavor to finish that.
I know. But when you do get this next one done, will you come back on the show and we'll play it and talk about it?
Oh, in my honor, man. Thank you so much for...
Right back at you, co-conspirator.
Yeah.
Okay. People, it's been April 14, 2021. This is what Pedro should keep you powdered on.